Galactic Interstellar Council on Revolution Radio Studio A, Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern. Join us as we traverse the starseed paradigm. As expressed in the time-space continuum that we know as the divine expression of love and light. Integrating this conscious unity into the galactic paradigm. So welcome all, both terrestrial beings and galactic beings as one. So be it. You're listening to Revolution Radio.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never stops.
Hang on, we got a trick.
Is this at Jim Fetzer, your host on the Raw Deal? And I hope we got this coordinated right, because I cannot hear what the studio is playing, but I have good reason to think we're good to go. I have a very special guest today, Marion Hennine, and we are going to talk about George Floyd, about which he has a new book. Before we get there, however, I want to start with a couple of stories of great significance, including that the United Nations chief has declared there are clear violations of international humanitarian law in Gaza. UN chief Antonio Guterres has renewed his demand for a ceasefire in Gaza, saying international law is being violated in the war between Israel and the Palestinian armed group Hamas. Israel has bombarded the besieged Gaza Strip relentlessly since October 7th, when Hamas launched a surprise attack on southern Israel, killing at least 14,000, according to Israeli authorities. After the attack, Israel cut off supplies of water, food, fuel, and electricity to the enclave 2.3 million residents, and at the UN, with complete justification, called a form of collective punishment. According to the Hague Convention, private property of civilian may not be destroyed. That's a violation of human rights. According to the Geneva, a group of population may not be punished for crimes individuals in the group did not commit personally. That's a war crime. It's taking place unabated here. Remember now, by cutting off electricity, fuel, and food, and water, the rule of threes, human beings can survive 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, 3 weeks without food. They are starving Gaza. This is all by design. Here again, Hague Convention, one of the restrictions, Article 50. Prohibition against collective punishment protecting private property. Geneva Conventions. No person may be punished for acts he or she did not commit. It ensures the collective punishment of a group of persons for crime committed by an individual is forbidden. Nevertheless, in relation to alleged attacks by Russia, Ursula von Leyen of the European Union has declared Russia's attacks against civilian infrastructure, especially electricity, are war crimes. Cutting off men, women, children of water, electricity, and heating. With winter coming, these are acts of pure terror, and we have to call it as such. But when it comes to Israel performing war crimes against Gaza, they remain silent. Here's a meme that puts it all together. The Jewish state planned massacre of Gentiles in the West Bank, not just Gaza, the West Bank too. They've distributed 300 machine guns to West Bank civilian security squads. The meme says, in the cities that the Lord thy God has given you as an inheritance, you shall save alive nothing that breathe. That's from Deuteronomy. Here's a more extensive passage. When the Lord your God brings you into the land you are to possess and drives out the many nations larger and stronger than you, and when the Lord your God has delivered them over to you and you have defeated them, then you must destroy them totally. Make no treaty with them. Show them no mercy. Do not save alive anything that breathes. Do not intermarry with them. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your son. Break down their altars. Smash their sacred stones. Burn their idols in the fire. For you are a people holy to the Lord your God, who has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of earth to be his people, his treasured possession. Grotesque. Meanwhile, an Israeli official have warned Russia, you're next. Emor Weitman, powerful member of Netanyahu's Likud party in Israel, went live on Russia Today. And this obviously a tweet from a fan. And oh boy, tore into Russia's stance. I was only waiting him to step through the screen. What an epic statement. This is exactly what will resonate in Moscow. Fat chance. Here's what he said. Russia is supporting the enemies of Israel. Russia is supporting Nazi people who want to commit genocide on us. And Russia will pay the price. We're going to win this war. Afterward, we're not forgetting what you're doing. We're not forgetting. We will come. We will make sure Ukraine wins. We will make sure that you pay the price for what you have done, you as Russia. A host of the program said Moscow had been calling for a ceasefire, looking for a solution to the conflict in Israel. I understand, he replied. You're on the Russian payroll. I understand this is Russian propaganda. But you have to be very careful because let me tell you, we're going to finish this war. We're going to win because we're stronger, he said, according to the new voice of Ukraine. Here's a note. The New York Times reported Putin once had a relatively close relationship with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. But since the outbreak of the Ukraine war, there seems to be a chill. The paper noted that as of Friday, the Russian leader had not reached out to his Israeli counterpart. Meanwhile, Israel issues an ultimatum on Gaza. Israel will not conduct a ground operation on Gaza if Hamas surrenders unconditionally and frees all of its hostages. Israeli Defense Force spokesman Lieutenant Colonel Jonathan Korakas has said, if the looming offensive goes ahead, however, Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant estimates it could take up to 3 months. That's a gross underestimate. It could take up to 3 years. In an interview with the Australian Broadcasting Corporation on Monday, Korakas dodged a question as to why Israel appears to be delaying its ground operation. Instead, he vowed the Israeli military will dismantle Hamas totally and bring our people home. The IDF and PLIF have also dramatically ramped up operations in the West Bank against Palestinian terror organizations, have arrested some 860 suspects since the war broke out, 514 of whom are members of Hamas. Bear in mind, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter. Just as one man's Trump supporter is another man's domestic terrorist. On Monday night, 32 suspects, including 18 Hamas operatives, were arrested. The Peace Now organization, which campaigns against the settlements in Israeli control of the West Bank, expressed concern over the distribution of assault rifles to the security teams, saying it amounted to the privatization of security in the region. It seems that with the Samaria Regional Council, there is an acknowledgement that the Israeli army can't effectively secure both the country's borders and the settlements deep within Palestinian territories, the organization said. Instead of pursuing strategic solutions, such as defensible borders, there's a tendency to privatize security and increase the distribution of weapons. If the military can't ensure security, it's clear privatization is not a solution. It's a potential recipe for disaster. Explained Israel would prefer to rely on airstrikes, avoid exposing its troops to danger unnecessarily. They've created a situation that's going to be horrific. If Hamas were to come out of their fighting places where they hide beneath civilians and return our hostages and 212 of them and surrender unconditionally, then the war would end. Of course it would. That's not going to happen. He concluded, if the Palestinian militants fail to comply with these conditions, we'll probably have to go in and get it done. Meanwhile, the U.S., in my opinion, completely recklessly and irresponsibly, has sent a Marine to be the field commander to Israel to oversee and coordinate war effort against Hamas, Hezbollah, Lebanon, Syria, and Iran. The Marine three-star general, Lieutenant General James Glenn, is a battle-hardened warrior ready to attack and destroy the enemies of America. But those aren't enemies of America. Those are enemies of Israel. One of the few generals ready and willing to fight. We have more here. Now, this is Colonel McGregor talking about how the Israelis have made the situation much worse by destroying all the buildings in Gaza.
This will, I'm quite certain, be a nightmare, and I think the Israelis will pay a price. I don't know how high that will be, and I'm sure that they will do what we did during the Second World War and our opponents did, which is ultimately use firepower as much as possible to keep people alive. You can't just send infantry in with some engineers. You have to have standby firepower, which means you need tanks, ideally autocannon, though I don't think the Israelis have very many of those. And those will immediately be brought to bear, and they've done that before. And tank fire, of course, is very, very accurate, as you know, much more accurate than anything coming in from above. And I would also expect to see some attack helicopters, although perhaps not as much as we have in the past, because we're finding out more and more it's just very easy to eliminate helicopters from the battle space.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
We'll see.
And Doug, I want to see on two separate aspects of this. Number one is, what do you think will be the initial objectives of Israel? Let's say that they break through the fence and, like, you know, what is their first, second, and third tactical objectives? And then the second part is, what do you think the Hamas side is going to do? What is their objective? Because for sure they have spent months preparing for this, so they're going to have a lot of surprises here. But I wonder if you could kind of look at it from both sides on the initial incursion.
Well, the last time the Israeli Defense Force went into Gaza, they segmented the area. They went on two separate axes, straight in, almost, you know, directly across the Gaza Strip towards the sea. They took some prisoners. They were in search for some hostages, as I recall. They did some damage, and they turned around and got out. This time, I would expect that they'll try to clear the entire area, certainly in northern Gaza. That means that you have to divide it up into grid squares, and you have to accurately assess what you're doing in each one, and as you progress slowly but surely. This is not something you rush. If you rush into it, you're going to lose a lot of people. So I'm sure they're going to be very systematic about it, as the Russians were in Chechnya. And like the Russians, I'm sure the Israelis will use lots of firepower to eliminate, you know, discovered threats, if you will.
And so when Russia went into Chechnya in the first Chechen war, especially with a lot of their mechanized forces, they had a lot of basically high learning curve and lots of mistakes and lots of losses. Do you think something like that's going to happen with Israel?
Well, I think the Israelis will do better at the first shot than the Russians did. We forget that at that time the Russian army was on the skids. And one entire motorized rifle company was so hungry that when they discovered there was food at a railroad station, they jumped out, ran in to get something to eat. You know, it's pretty hard to fight if your soldiers are worn out,
right,
starving. that's not the case anymore. And the second time the Russians went in there, that was not the case. We're not going to have that problem with the Israelis. They're well supplied, well sustained. The danger is, frankly, that this is 140 square miles for the whole Gaza Strip. If you split that in half, what are you dealing with? So you're still dealing with 70 square miles. 70 square miles may not sound like a lot, but it really is when you're being asked to go in there and essentially neutralize it. It cleanses it, if you will, of any enemy. The enemy, on the other hand, has a freewheeling operation. Now, I'm sure they'll use some of these underground tunnels we've heard about, certainly those that are still usable. But I think we'll find with the Hamas fighters that most of them will stay where they are and fight to the bitter end. They may change firing positions or move around between it within a small area. But these people are going to fight to the bitter end. I would expect them to behave much like the Imperial Japanese Army. I'd be surprised if they didn't.
Now, I know in studying the Battle of Stalingrad, a lot of times the Germans went in there and they just bombed all these, you know, houses and structures and turned it into rubble, thinking that was going to help them. But then the Russians actually used a lot of that for defensive positions, actually making it difficult. Is the Israeli force going to have some similar problems with the many buildings they've already rubbled? How will they deal with it?
I think so. And of course, the other thing is, let's assume the buildings were still there. They probably would have booby-trapped large numbers of them. So sending somebody in initially would have been problematic. That's where you have something of an advantage if you could send something robotic into the room. Now, this time around, that's probably not going to be an issue, because the last time I looked at pictures of the northern half of Gaza, it looked a lot like Dresden after World War II.
Right.
But this time, you're up against the rubble fight. And as we know, that makes it easier on the defender, harder for the attacker. But you can't plot your movement as effectively as you could if those things were intact. But, you know, again, there's no easy way around this. This is ugly. This is dirty. This is nasty. I'm sure people will pretend to surrender, and then they'll end up being shot because they didn't surrender. We went through that in the Gulf, as you recollect. In fact, the first sergeant and Eagle Troop captured some soldiers. It took their weapons away and then suddenly gave them water and said, look, I can't pick you up right now. I'll be back. He showed up. They took him under fire. So it killed them. And I think the Israelis will end up doing a lot of the same thing. So remember, there's no such thing in this environment as the law of war. Frankly, that's just dead on arrival. These are ruthless terrorists. And as I said, I think most of them will behave like the Imperial Japanese Army did. And we certainly gave them no quarter.
Yeah.
This will...
I think that the colonel has made a key point that by destroying so many of the Palestinian buildings in Gaza, 40% or more are already rubble. They've actually made it far more difficult for them to succeed in their ethnic cleansing. Here's another late report from Jonathan Cook. Israel is caught lying time and time again, and yet we never learn. Disinformation over the blast at Gaza's Al-Ahli hospital worked as planned, taking the focus off the victims, lifting pressure on Israel to stop its rampage. Here we have a photograph of a man carrying a rescued Palestinian girl from the rubble. Western politicians and media act as if they are caught in a permanent spell, sympathetically indulging even the most wildly improbable denials from Israel that it has committed war crimes. As Lenin famously observed, a lie told often enough becomes a truth. We can go further. It never matters how often Israel is caught in a lie, because its next lie will be given the benefit of the doubt. Western media refuses to learn from the past. The latest example came just a few days ago. Israel vigorously kept up thus to obscure its responsibility for hitting the Baptist hospital in Gaza last Tuesday, killing many hundreds of Palestinians sheltering on its ground. Faced with Israel's relentless campaign of bombing, families had assumed they'd be safe as close to a Christian institution. Drawing on previous experience, Israel rightly assumes by the time the dust settles and the truth emerges, the world will have moved on. The lie will stand. Israel's job is made considerably easier by the media, whose coverage of Israeli atrocities can invariably be depended upon to strip out relevant context. As Israel began pummeling Gaza more than 2 weeks ago with thousands of high-explosive bombs, its leaders clarified exactly what their intent was. referring to the people at Gaza as human animals. Defense Minister Gallant vowed to eliminate everything. An Israeli military official explained, emphasis is on damage, not accuracy. Another said, Gaza would be reduced to a city of tents. There will be no buildings. Meanwhile, President of Israel, Isaac Herzog, accused the entire population of being responsible for the Hamas attack, effectively denying every man, woman, and child their civilian status, designating them all terrorists. He added, we will break their backbone. Israel has demanded Palestinians leave the northern half of the tiny Gaza Strip, requiring them to ethnically cleanse themselves. It is indicated the vacated area would be treated as a free fire zone. According to the UN, in less than 2 weeks, a quarter of Gaza's homes have turned to rubble. 600,000 Palestinians are left homeless. To ensure Palestinians do as they're told, Israel has targeted the support structures and major institutions of northern Gaza, which ordinary people depend upon. Mosques, schools, UN compounds, hospitals have all been hit. In the days leading up to the attack on the Al-Ahli Hospital, 23 other medical centers in northern Gaza received warnings to evacuate immediately. Dozens have been hit, according to the World Health Organization. Those threats were ignored because the hospitals are already overflowing with patients too injured from Israel's bombardment to be moved, and because there are no facilities to treat them elsewhere. Apparently angered by this defiance, Israel hit a hospital with two shells 3 days before the larger strike. This is known by the Israeli military as its knock-on-the-roof procedure. Fire a small weapon at a building as advance warning to evacuate before a much bigger strike. Meanwhile, we have a former IDF member giving us what I believe to be an accurate report on what happened, what actually happened. Check this out.
Shalom. I want you to know before I start the video that what I'm about to say is very controversial. So if you don't have an open mind about what's going on in Israel right now, and you don't want to hear something might rattle your preconceived notions a little bit, I suggest you turn off this video right now. I'll wait. Okay, if you're still with me, that shows that you're open to listening to some facts and a timeline that points to a very disturbing conclusion. This isn't the video I want to make, and it's something that, first of all, we'll start with September 1st. By the way, everything I'm about to say, will be backed up with actual links to news articles or video footage. And if you want any of my sources, I'm happy to give them. September 1st, the Israeli government confiscated the weapons of the security teams in the Gaza Belt communities. This was done against the will of those security teams in the Gaza Belt communities. Why that happened, nobody knows. Fast forward to September 10th. On September 10th, the Moetza, which is basically the municipalities of the Gaza Belt communities, received reports, these are civilians, received reports of increased tensions on the border of Gaza during the Jewish holidays, which of course span from Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Shmini Atzeret, which was on Saturday. Those same heads of municipalities asked the army if they should cancel their festivities in light of the warnings of increased tensions on the border of Gaza. And what did the army say? They said, no, don't cancel anything. It appears as though we're heading into a state of calm. By the way, all links I will share as soon as I have a chance to comment on this. Now, You can assume that the Shabak did not know about this attack, but that's highly improbable. I mean, Israel is probably the most advanced surveillance state in the world, and the Gaza border is probably the most heavily surveilled. And the Shabak, who somehow knew how about a guy who had corona in a toy store and tracked him all the way to a soccer stadium during the days of corona, somehow didn't know about this massive attack planned by thousands of random Gazans on pickup trucks and hang gliders. Are you serious? Are you really that stupid? Do you really believe that? Because if you do, I have a bridge to sell you. Anyways, so then there's the theory that they're called in Hebrew Tatzpitanot, which is basically the command and control center. These are the people, mostly females, who observe, who's tasked with observing the Gaza border fence. I say there's a theory that says that they were hacked, or that they conquered the, or that they blew it up before they could, they blew up the equipment that surveilled. Well, that's BS, because there's actual video footage that I'll also share with you of those same command control center operators reporting on the breach of the fence. The fence was breached in 15 different locations, and you want to tell me that the most highly advanced surveillance equipment on arguably any border in the world didn't pick that up, didn't report it? Well, they did, and it's documented. So don't believe that lie. Now, once thousands of Gazans on pickup trucks and hang gliders invaded Israel, which apparently nobody knew about, right? Okay, you believe that? Which apparently no one knew about. They had 7 hours to kill everyone in their path, completely destroy kibbutzim. Not only that, take hostages back to Gaza, unscathed, unopposed. Now, there are people who say, well, a bunch of battalions were moved from Gaza over to Judea and Samaria. First of all, that's BS. Second of all, okay, so what if they did? Do you know how long it takes an attack helicopter to get activated and blow up any one of those tractors or pickup trucks or hang gliders that invaded Israel? Less than 5 minutes. And I know all these things firsthand because I served on the Gaza border. Less than 5 minutes. It all could have been over. From 7:01 a.m. on October, 6th or 7th, on Saturday, I believe it was October 7th, it could have been a matter of five minutes before the whole thing was upended. And instead they had 7 hours, possibly 8, to conquer kibbutzim, kill thousands, and bring back hostages alive, unopposed. And there's many people who say, oh, well, this was just a breach. No, that's not a breach. I'm sorry, that's not a fucking breach. That's an inside job. And if it's not an inside job, well, then that's even worse. Because that means that the IDF is the most incompetent military that ever walked the face of the earth. And now we're supposed to trust these people to invade Gaza? They're calling up thousands of reservists to invade Gaza under the command of a military that A, didn't see this coming, and B, is too incompetent to react to a bunch of pickup trucks with AK-47s invading Israel? You tell me which outcome is worse. What's worse? That it was an inside job? Or that the Israeli army is really this incompetent? Which one is scarier? You tell me. You tell me if you trust this same military to send in thousands of incredible Jewish souls dying to fight for this land into Gaza. And no matter how high the morale is, and it's high, and these are brave warriors, but none of it matters if the people calling the shots are the same people who allowed the Gaza militia to invade Israel's borders, kill thousands, take back hostages completely unopposed. Like I said, this is not a video I wanted to do. This is not something. And oh, by the way, now America is coming with aid. Do you really think Israel needs American aid to fight Gaza? Gaza, their most elite force, their air force is hang gliders, and their ground troops are pickup trucks. They don't even have a tank. And we need American aid to, Israel needs American aid to fight them? Are you fucking serious? You don't think that there's anything fishy going on here? You really trust the IDF to send in all these reservists into Gaza, the same people who, A, didn't see this coming, or the alternative, which is much worse, they're so incompetent, they can't even handle a couple of pickup trucks and hang gliders invading their border, killing thousands and taking hostages for 7 hours, practically unopposed, and able to go back.
I think that's as close as we're going to come to the truth of exactly what happened here on October 7th. Now, if we're getting a straight scoop there, here's something that's equally disturbing. Toxicology findings for George Floyd. Recent lawsuit prompts reevaluation of martyr's death in 2020. This is from John Leake. Tucker Carlson just published a new episode of his show in which he reviews the death of George Floyd on Memorial Day 2020, for which former Minneapolis Police Department officer Derek Chauvin was convicted of murder and sentenced to 40 years in prison. A recent lawsuit incidental to Floyd and Chauvin unveiled sworn deposition excerpts from a conversation with County Medical Examiner Andrew Baker, indicating that Floyd's passing was not due to asphyxiation or strangulation. Instead, factors including drug use and a fatal concentration of fentanyl were significant contributors. Well, I'm so pleased to have with me here today Miriam Hinane, who's an expert on George Floyd, recently published a book. Miriam, I'm just delighted to feature you. I know you must have been quite struck by this report emerging indirectly. Please give us your thoughts, all of the above.
Hi, Jim. Nice to see you again. It's been a while. You can hear me?
Very clearly.
Yeah, it is pretty frustrating knowing that my film that came out in January, The Real Timeline, was sent to Tucker, mind you, before the shuffle, before he left Fox. However, this is nothing new. The lawsuit against Michael Freeman, the sex discrimination suit by Amy Sweezy, was actually filed a year ago. What is new is the deposition that was made public. And in it, she has a conversation with Andrew Baker, the seasoned medical examiner that was railroaded by all sorts of ways. He was accused of white supremacy. They tried to vote him to not renew his contract. Roger Mitchell, a examiner with ties to the Muslim Brotherhood, tried to pressure him, on and on. And I have the deposition opened, and it basically says, Dr. Baker said to Amy Sweezy, he said to me, Amy, what happens when the actual evidence doesn't match up with the public narrative that everyone already decided on? And then he said, this is the kind of case that ruins careers. So this is nothing new. And part of a trait of a false flag is to constantly keep dripping supposed new information to keep the headline, or to keep the person or the topic in the headlines, whether it's Sandy Hook or George Floyd. So I don't know what else to say, Jim. My book hasn't come out. It's in the hands of the publisher, and I can't wait for it to hit the shelves so people can pre-order it. But the movie is out, where I purchased all the footage from the United States government. So why is it that my movie hasn't made the headlines? Because they don't want the truth and nothing but the truth to come out, that this was a psychological operation organized with the help of the government and the prostitutes and the parrots.
Oh, Miriam, but just as much detail as you can tell us what really happened with George Floyd, his background, as much as you can share. I'm sure there are many here eager to pick up your book when it becomes available. And I've made you host, so you can share any videos, any clips, anything you might like here with us today.
Okay.
The audience will only hear what we say today, but with a video we're making, they'll be able to check it out on my BitChute channel, Jim Petzer. Yes.
Okay, awesome. So here is the 158-page deposition, which includes dialogue between Amy. She's being questioned, Amy Sweezy. So this is the section that I just read to you. People can get, they can reserve the book now and support real journalists that are truly independent, that have been attacked and censored to boot. You know, when you lose your bank account, when you get smeared on NBC, when you don't have Venmo or Vimeo or PayPal or GoFundMe or Instacart or Airbnb or Amazon, all for speaking out against this jab from hell, plus reporting on this event that ushered in a color revolution. So I've spent 3.5 years plus doing a deep dive with FOIA and documents and information that you will not find anywhere else, just like the movie shows footage that you have not seen anywhere else on this entire planet. So I can stop sharing the screen for now. I mean, if you have any questions, I can go into further detail on almost anything regarding.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd like you to give us an overview of the whole shebang, if you can, Miriam. That would be just fantastic. I think there are an awful lot of people who had an awful lot of suspicions from the beginning that something was not right, and they'd be glad to have all their suspicions vindicated by your very diligent research.
Well, the movie that people can access will show a cover-up inside of Cup Foods. No one's told you that. The book will show that arguably George Perry Floyd was a informant for the FBI, that Maurice Lester Hall was an informant for the MPD, that Derek Chauvin was likely an informant for also the cops, possibly three-letter agencies, when he studied at Fort Benning or did a stint in Fort Benning, the School of Americas, aka the School of Assassins. No one talks about that. There was also a tax evasion case that very few people know about for all this unaccounted money, because Derek Chauvin, a.k.a. the warlord of Precinct 3, not only worked for El Nuevo, but other clubs with ties to the Mexican cartel. So if people have seen the show The Ozarks, this is pretty much it. Nobody really focused on the fact that these two gentlemen worked at the same club. That was very much buried. So perhaps now that we've gained some distance 3.5 years later, people can consider putting aside their George Floyd fatigue to learn what happened. The reason why I invested so much time is I'm a scribe for the history books. We're still trying to figure out what happened in Sandy Hook. We're still trying to figure out what happened RFK. These false flags, you know, stay circulate with questions for pretty much ever. They're never proved, you know, 100%. There's always questions. But the point is, Tucker Carlson is not going to tell you that the government and the media colluded to create this event to sow more division
They're not going to tell you that. Well, Tucker hasn't so far. Maybe in another 3 years, the people will be ready. I don't know.
Well, you know, during the false flags and conspiracies conference of
2022,
of 2020, actually,
okay,
I made a presentation that included discussion about George Floyd, and I'd love to get your thoughts about what I had pieced together at that point in time. Here are some of the key elements. When he was arrested, he was handcuffed behind his back. He was put into a police car, which would take him for booking. But he was taken out the other side and put to the ground. What they took out the other side was a black mannequin torso. Here you have, did the cop throw the guy down hard enough to knock off his hair? Just wondering. Because I see he has hair when he's arrested, then all of a sudden he doesn't have hair. Here's more. This is a little video clip, I think. Well, you see him lying there, and actually it's a little faint, but his hands in front of his chest. How is that even possible when he was manacled behind his head? Here we have a video, and look what happens when he's lifted up and put on the stretcher. There is a sound, a little bit of a sound, but there. Look at that.
Yeah.
So, no. Like, yep, yeah, Miriam, I just have 2 points. As near as I could figure out, they were using a Sigma 7 torso airway trainer to stand in for George Floyd. And Miriam, those were my efforts, but I am pleased to have your more expert critique because you've invested massively more effort on this than have I. Go ahead.
So in regards to that clip, unfortunately, the way it cuts down, you know, you can't see past that point, right? You could argue that this event was filmed over a couple of days. There is discrepancies between the body-worn footage of, let's say, the park police officer that actually shows on his time code May 26th, and the Dragon Walk footage is also 24 minutes late, which is very strange when you look at these are supposed to be synced to UTC, to standard clocks. So how is it that you have the footage that's off from the other footage? You can also look at this supposedly started at 7:33. They lied about George and Maurice and Shawanda all arriving or meeting there. Coincidentally, George and Maurice arrived there together. But the light does not change at all. The sun is setting, but you don't see the light changing on the camera. So you can argue that this was filmed over 2 days. Now, as far as the mannequin, that company was situated in Minnesota. They were forced to leave. I don't know. I think it was burned down. It's in my book. I wasn't able to track that man in the photo who's the owner of that company holding up the bust that is similar to George Floyd.
So, and he also looks a lot like George Herbert Walker Bush, the company owner. I thought that was bizarre.
That is true. That is true. I mean, there's so much discrepancies. For instance, at the funeral, the four funerals, I wasn't under the impression that it was an open casket. It was the Rona. They were not going to open a casket. But yet Getty Images miraculously comes up with this one photo from a certain angle that shows an open casket. But if you ask people that attended at least the celebrity, there was one in Minnesota with Channing Tatum and I think Jamie Foxx, some other celebrities that showed up with their face diapers. They weren't able to even meet the family. Like when I say that Teresa is one of the roommates of George Floyd, she wasn't able to meet
the Floyd family, which is bizarre because you'd think the Floyd family would want to, one, pick up George's belongings, which they never did, and that they would meet the people who lived with their son, with their brother, with their loved one. That never occurred. So when I asked Teresa, for instance, did you meet the family? She said no, because there was all of these celebrities around the body, around the family, so she couldn't go and approach the family. But I said to her, do you think that Chatham Tatum took it out of the goodness of his heart to go and fly to attend a funeral that he doesn't even know this guy? Or, you know, times were desperate and this was a good gig. Who knows how much he got paid to bring his face diaper and then show up. And then they could say it's a celebrity studded event, but they would not do that for you or me. As you know, they went above and beyond with four different funerals. And if I were to ask you who organized the funerals, well, it's the United States government. It's a PR group called Mercury, and they would not do that for you and I. It's the same PR group that Al Sharpton uses, and it's the same PR group that worked with the Podesta group many years ago, a shady AF. So there's just so many holes. And then whenever I tried to pull FOIA or look at certain documents, when it was convenient, they would cite HIPAA. And so I couldn't access certain documents that some of the prostitutes and parrots somehow got their hands on. I don't know how.
Well, Miriam, how can Officer Chauvin have been convicted and sentenced to 40 years for murder when the medical examiner said it was a drug overdose? I mean, give us a break. Was the whole trial nothing but a sham? Was it even a real trial? Did they use a courtroom as a set?
Exactly. I, given that I've approached all of the lawyers, whether it's Earl Grey, or which was Thomas Lane's lawyer, or Alexander Kang's lawyer, or Eric Nelson, I mean, I've approached them all. I even sent my film to Derek Chauvin's appeal attorneys, and I brought attention to them. I brought to their attention footage that they had not even seen themselves, which makes you wonder. I mean, you could argue they have tons of different cases, so they can't do the deep dive that I chose to do because I'm very thorough and comprehensive. But yeah, they told me, the appeal attorneys said that they would be taking this to the Supreme Court. There was an appeal. The appeal was shot down. So they anticipate this will be in the news for, it'll take about 2 years. But that is a very valid, is this real? Is this a sham show trial? Is anything real that we see on television anymore, or is it just PSYOP after PSYOP?
Well, let me just offer you two comparison cases. Robert Barnes, a rather famous attorney, was in the courtroom at Alex Jones in Austin, his first trial, and he said it was unlike any courtroom he'd ever seen. There were three cameras running. One was on the jury. He said it looked to him like a made-for-TV movie. And I myself was dragged into court, and the whole business was a sham in terms of violating the statutes and protocols for that type of case. Mine was a purported defamation. They excluded my evidence, basically set it aside, because in Wisconsin they have the absurd allowance for a judge to set aside evidence he regards as unreasonable. So not only did I have, you know, a 400 page book demonstrating Sandy Hook had been a FEMA drill to present it as mass murder to promote gun control, but I had a FEMA manual. I had FBI consolidated crime report showing the intersection for murder and non-negligent manslaughter in Newtown, at which Sandy Hook is a division. The number was zero. I had a fake conga line there of the kids showing an earlier photograph, a bunch of parents there with their arm folded, hands in their pocket. They rearrange the kids to get a better shot. The judge just set it all aside. I mean, the case was an abomination from a legal point of view. I took it up to the Court of Appeals in Wisconsin. And you see, I would be entitled to a jury trial if there were a conflict in our points of view. You're only supposed to permit a summary judgment if there's agreement on the facts. And they said to show our respective position and imply there was agreement on the facts, the plaintiff says Adam Lanza shot 20 kids and 6 adults, blah, blah, blah. Then Fetzer says it's a FEMA exercise where nobody died, and they treated it as though those were the same. I mean, the absurdity here. And I took it to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. They declined to hear it. I took it to the United States Supreme Court, and State of the Nation declared this may be the single most important issue before the Supreme Court in our lifetime, because I was talking about my denial of a jury trial under circumstances with this massive conflict in the facts, and that in other states like Texas, it would have been thrown out of court or I would have been given the jury trial. So this combined both the 7th and the 14th Amendment, and would you believe the United States Supreme Court declined to hear it? So I'm convinced. Go ahead.
I'm sorry to hear that, Jim, but I'm not surprised. And to your point, these trials are sham shows. The Alex Jones trial was a complete circus joke. You know, if you consider when you have a sidebar, the lawyers will go and huddle and the sound is off. In the Alex Jones trial, they would go have sidebars and everybody would be hearing what they're saying, which is, it's such a joke. And then for real people like yourself that come with the receipts, not like Alex Jones, who balked and backed away from everything that he said. If someone took me to court about George Floyd, I'd be like, here are my receipts. Bring it on. Everything that I say, I can back up like a real journalist. So there's no justice. It's just us. So, you know, in regards to Alex Jones, who you even offered your expertise to, and that was turned down, I don't know what to say. My friend, Mark Grenon of Genesis Church, that has a church that was donating chlorine dioxide because he used the word cure in relation to COVID. He spent 3.5 years without his constitutional right to a speedy trial and just got sentenced to 5 years. And his sons got sentenced to 12. For what? For peddling supposed fake cures when we know that chlorine dioxide works. So there is no justice. And then people will look at court TV and think that this make-believe BS is how we conduct ourselves. You know, if you don't have money, you can't buy justice. And let's say, look at Maurice Lester Hall, who was with George Floyd that day. The day after that, I did an exclusive 2-hour interview. They trudged up all his charges and he's in jail. How about his black life? Does anybody give a shit? No, they don't. So the hypocrisy, the lack of paying attention to detail, it's really sad when you have friends that are in jail for what? For nothing. You know, that could be me. You're lucky you're not in jail for the work that you did uncovering Sandy Hook.
Well, I'm telling you, it's that bad. You've nailed it. Miriam, we have two options. I'd love for you to take the next segment to present any issues you like. I've made you a host again.
Thank you. I can show parts of my film.
Wonderful. I would love that. Now, we're going to be hitting a break here in just a moment. About 3 minutes, I'm notified by Mitchell before we hit the break. So perhaps we talk a bit and then we can play parts of your video, your film after the break for continuity. I like what you were saying about the trials and all that. So if you want to expand on any of that, I mean, you know, well, I mean, is Derek Chauvin going to spend a day in jail? I mean, I thought he was incarcerated leading up because they thought he was so dangerous, but it was all bullshit. And we turned the country inside out over a manufactured phony psyop, Antifa, Black Lives Matter, looting, rioting, arson. And the Democrats were egging them on, saying, this is what we need. We need more of this. And later, in retrospect, they'd say it was mostly peaceful. Miriam, I mean, the insults to the American people boggle the mind.
Do you want me to comment now?
Can comment now, and then we'll continue after. Go ahead. Yeah.
I believe that there's a lot of validity to what you're saying in regards to the absurdity of these trials. I don't think that Eric Nelson did a good of a job that he could, given, like, let's say, for instance, Roger Mitchell, who was the medical examiner that pressured Andy Baker and literally threatened him. It wasn't brought up. There were a lot of things that Eric Nelson, Derek Chauvin's lawyer, could have brought up there was juror 52, and then it came to light that juror 52 was at a Black Lives Matter protest. So they could have, at the time, made sure that juror for 52 wasn't appointed, but they did not. Eric Nelson didn't fight to get that juror off of the juror pool. So there was a lot of mistakes that were made. I know that I wrote to Derek Chauvin. I penned him a letter. I never heard back. I know that every time I speak to the appeal attorneys, which is not Eric Nelson, it's kind of like they entertain me and they acknowledge my movie, but yet they don't bring it a step forward. And actually, someone that I know, a high...
Miriam, we're hitting the break. Yes. Put up the cover of your book during the break so visually they'll be able to see it, and I'll let you know as soon as we come back. And then we'll look at parts of your documentary. Actually, 30 seconds. You could have completed the sentence. Mitch mistyped 3 instead of 30. But go ahead, finish your thought, but we're going to be hitting the break. Here we are. We're there. Yeah, go ahead, put up the cover of your book so we can all watch it during the break. And I'll let the break up for me. Excellent. No, we're seeing. That's just what I wanted. But go it, but take it out of full screen because I've got to see Mitchell's notes in the margin and I can't see them. That's good, Barry. What you got is good. Just take it off of full screen.
And we'll be right back.
Okay.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We're good. He's going to let me know when the... I have a pretty good sense of it.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do.
Yeah.
And we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching.
So do.
And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
No, I have a new show on RPM called Authentic News. You know, Michael Rovero.
We've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change.
Well known on RPM, but I now have a new show.
It's over.
Currently from
your governments around the world have no other goal
than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore.
Yeah.
Revolution
yeah.
Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station.
All,
on
all
the
I really
planet.
Need are a couple of sentences, not you know, just so people up. Know what you're going to be
Revolution
talking. Just a couple of sentences.
Radio. Radio. Radio.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, no, they're doing the Joe has a show with let's see, what's it called? See, TNT.
Yeah, and he's doing the so-called mainstream media, the need-to-know news, contributors who, with mere contingency, are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern. And learn why the story behind the story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The problem is just sure to begin.
Yeah, that's just fine. Whatever you want.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm continuing my conversation with Marion Hanane. I'm making her host again so that she can show us parts of her video. Marion, I'm just delighted by all of this. The floor is yours.
Thank you. So I'm going to just show my book again. I would invite people to pre-order the book. It's going to go up in price because this is basically gold. Truth has become dangerous. So right now they can get it on MiriamHanane.com /product/George/book. Sorry, George/Floyd/book. It's right here. So I really invite people to support my work. And then let's go to the movie. Let's see, can you say, I think I have to stop and share again. I have to find the screen.
Sure, that's fine. Not a problem. Yeah, I'm going to add links to your various websites and where individuals can support your work at the end of the show, Miriam, and I'll include it in the show description when we publish it on my BitChute channel, and I'll be putting this up on my Twitter account as well. And my BitChutes are mirrored on Rumble. Yeah.
Just trying to get the movie.
Sure. I need to continue conversation so we don't have dead air, because then people think there's nothing there. So, but as soon as
for whatever reason, it's not pulling up the screen. Can you see it now?
Now, yeah. Yep, go for it.
For some reason, it's not responding.
Well,
okay.
Here we go. There you go.
Hopefully they'll be able to hear. You can see?
Yeah, you can see fine.
Okay, it's playing.
Content warning. The following video controls material that may, I would put it, disturb your mind. Oh, you actually begin with that video. That's wonderful.
There are three things that up in flames.
We begin with breaking news in South Minneapolis.
Caught on tape, a black man pinned to the ground, later dying after a white officer kneeled on his neck.
It started with a report of a forgery in progress and ended with Floyd's death. The situation has become volatile in the 3rd Police Precinct tonight.
As police officers and protesters clash over a man's death.
Those from Minneapolis, anger, frustration, pouring into the streets of America. It all stems from this video.
So what really happened that day?
Heard on the video saying, I can't breathe.
Police officers involved were all contaminated.
A reasonable officer would take into account the 16 minutes and 59 seconds leading up to the 9 minute and 29 seconds Officer Chauvin had his knee on him. Miriam, why don't you add your commentary?
Sorry?
Go ahead and add your commentary since we can't hear a lot. Continue to play, but
yes.
Just talk about it.
Yeah, I will once I play the trailer.
Okay.
That's why I think he got a thing going on. I'm telling you about the coffee. Yeah, probably.
That moon, not one second.
He lost track or not.
But he has a problem. Well, let me get a store. So let me get a store.
What's that guy?
Yeah.
How are you doing?
What happened? Are you a support?
Yeah. It's a forgery reporting. The person that had given us a bill, we went over there.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, she's been for all day. What did you came up $80 danger?
Want to know the truth? Start with the lies. The media purposely left the lot on the proverbial cutting room floor to manipulate your emotions and perceptions of this event, manufacture a race war, and burn the country down. Ultimately, they used George Floyd's death to usher in a color revolution. My aim was simple, take all the footage and place it back in chronological order to capture a more complete, nuanced picture of reality, expose the slew of inconsistencies in the official narrative, and blow the lid off this file. Let's begin. The prostitutes and parrots told you that George Perry Floyd and Maurice Lester Hall met at Cuff Boots coincidentally.
Sorry about that.
It's okay. It's buffering.
Not true. Interestingly, before stepping into Cuff Boots, the two are looking out onto Chicago as though they're scouting the area. Note that the Dragon Walk footage is about 24 minutes off, meaning they arrived at approximately 7:33. George, Maurice, and Shawanda would spend nearly 15 minutes inside the store, arguably loitering or plotting something. X marks the spot. You can see George has a lot of money on him. Sylvia, the actual owner of the Mercedes-Benz, lent George her car and asked him to buy charcoal and fluid. According to Maurice, she wanted pills too. George and Maurice were planning to go.
Oops. Do you have any questions? Should I
keep going? No, go. We'll go ahead. We'll talk after.
Sorry?
I'm glad to talk after the trailer is done.
Okay.
Comes into frame.
The movie started. I'm going to play it for a few more minutes.
Sure.
George is looking through his pockets and Maurice can be seen taking a bill from George. Then they both exit the store before George returns and continues to fuddle around. Eventually, Shawanda Renee Hill arrives. Shawanda is also a convicted felon. Her first charge was at age 22 for offering a forged check, a forgery in progress, I guess you could say. Throughout the years, she's also been charged with theft, disorderly conduct, falsely using someone's name, prostitution, and stalking. Off camera, George and Shawanda are arguably speaking to Mr. Adam. Shawanda said she'd gone to Cup to fix her cell phone. Maurice returns to Cup, where he says he met Shawanda there for the first time. By the way, that was George and Maurice's second time at the store. They were there earlier. One of the four owners of Cup Foods told me directly.
We can go back, but I can comment a little.
Sure.
One, they were there earlier that day. So if you consider that they both had, Maurice and George, both had fake cash on them, and that Maurice tried supposedly to buy a tablet worth $180, that's petty theft. So consider why wasn't he called out for using fake money. And then I show later on that Maurice says, Mr. Adam, who's Mr. Adam? So I, in my movie, show a cover-up that, again, nobody on this planet other than me has shed light on, and possibly that the Cup Foods, the manager, who no one tells you about, is also in with the police, that is the epicenter. Because it does not make sense that they were there earlier and that Maurice was allowed to... No one called the police on him. That is very strange. There's a lot of things. Like, also, I did a FOIA to find out where did this money come from. In January 2020, there was $900,001 bills from China that were intercepted, and we never ever find out the source of the money. I did the FOIA and the memorandum from the Secret Service. The Secret Service is the agency that is responsible usually for fake money. They don't even entertain where the funds come from, which is very bizarre. So also, if you think of a live exercise, that's one of the reasons I believe why there are so many rookies. Genevieve Hansen is a rookie. The resident in the stab room, HCMC, the Hennepin hospital. Ironically, they have a stab room, which is supposed to be the number one in the nation for resuscitation. The doctor on hand that apparently resuscitated or tried to for an hour was also a resident. So you see a lot of rookies, because this is also the duty to intervene live exercise. As you know, Jim, oftentimes there's a training day. I acquired 1,300 internal emails between the MPD and the government, and I found that on May 29th, which was the day that Derek was arrested, there was a training day that was canceled. It was being hosted by the Dakota Technical College. Dakota Technical College is the college where Derek graduated, not as a cop, but as a cook. So when I reached out to Dakota, of course, they did not respond to me. Then I started looking at who sponsors Dakota Technical College. I found EcoHealth Alliance as one of the sponsors and Planned Parenthood. So you could argue that EcoHealth Alliance, which has ties to Bill Gates and Fauci and Wuhan, was also involved in organizing this psychological operator. David Fowler, who was brought in by the defense to testify on behalf of Derek, ironically, his resume showed that he's worked at Wuhan, also John Hopkins. So, you see all these similar players involved, and you see a lot of things that just don't add up, and no one has gone as deep as I have. It's unfortunate, again, that people have fatigue, and they bank on that. They bank on the fatigue. And again, if there wasn't so many PSYOP-y people, my film, regardless of me, would have attained the attention that it deserves. But it didn't.
How long has it been out, Miriam?
It's been out since January
And there's been no hard hitters, like big influencers that have helped me get it out. You know, people like Jack Posobiec or Mike Cernovich that supposedly have ties or are friendly with my distributor. So Jack Posobiec, I mention and do a shout out to him, but I believe he's a spook too.
Have you tried Joe Rogan or Stu Peters? I think they might be good.
Oh yeah, Stu interviewed me and then put me behind the paywall so he can make money off of me while I'm on food stamps because of all the attacks I've received over the past 3.5 years of this Rona regime. I mean, really, do you know anyone who's lost as much as I have and who's been smeared on NBC, who's been persecuted by the government, who's been debanked? I had a $1 million company, and the real people like you and I who do proper journalism, that they're nowhere to be seen. I mean, Joe Rogan is by all means, anyone, this would become news. And if there were any other journalists, why is it only this little brown girl that bought all the footage from the government and bothered to put it in a chronological order to show beyond the shadow of a doubt the effery involved? You know, this is an event that ushered in a color revolution. It's a historical event. You would think that it would get more traction.
Tell me about politics here. Do you think Pelosi knew? Chuck Schumer knew? Do you think the Democrat Party was in on it? George Soros? I mean, all of the above, because this turned out to be a monster historic event, a real turning point in American history, the summer of love. I mean,
right.
Any thoughts?
Well, I don't know specific people whether they knew or not. I can tell you that Joey B just on the White House gave an ode to George Perry Floyd turning 50, and that when he is citing Gianna, you know, George has other children. So I was able to locate, and this is in my book, a judgment order for a baby mama that you've never heard of, a child that you've never heard of, for $5 million dated May 1st, 2020. So 23 days before George was killed or died or whatever, because I think I don't think he was supposed to die, but that the operation went wrong. But tell me, and then I had this evidence from the courts. I called the courts. What is it that I'm looking at? They sent me an image of their docket. That document, it's from a real case in 2007. But George Perry Floyd would have to be earning $1.7 million a year to justify $5 million. When I calculated all the back pay of being a deadbeat dad, it was a whopping $40,000. So then I called the child care services, and they gave me the runaround. Then I called the George Floyd Foundation. Then I went back to the courts and I said, look, this is my proof. Where is this $5 million? Then I reached out to the private eye who was helping me. And when he went back to look at that document, it had become a trace. So probably my questioning further disappeared that document. But I believe that document is basically showing hush money to the children, because he had other kids. But the only one that made the cut was Gianna, who said, my daddy changed the world. And Joey B cites her and invites the Floyd family. And of course,
Joey B, you mean Joe Biden, just so everyone knows.
Yes, Joey B is Joe Biden, our decrepit pretend president. So there's just more holes than Swiss cheese. And like, I mean, this, if I were in a normal world, if I'm like, here's some proof, I have receipts that show a $5 million judgment order for a mama that I couldn't track down, for a child that was kept away from the media. Only this one daughter. And when I interviewed Giovanni Thunstrom, day three, I think it was May 27, 2020, I reached out to Giovanni, who is the employer of George at the Conga Latin Bistro. And I noticed talking points. It's like you have a list of broad stroke talking points, and you can go off of them and kind of, you know, improvise reality show style. So, for instance, I think I maybe it's this show I mentioned that Judea, the nine-year-old of cousin of Darnella Frazier, she was supposedly shielded from the horrific murder, but she's seen as other crisis actors that, you know, laughing and smirking. So I forgot why I brought her up. Oh, yeah, because she says on the scene, we need to call the police on the police. And then you see Mike of Cup Foods, the head honcho of Cup Foods, the Palestinian convenience store, also say to the press, we need to call the police on the police. And then Donald Williams, the supposed chokehold expert that made the cut as a bystander, also says, so I don't believe this nine-year-old birthed this line. It's one of the talking points. So, you know, black man, white officer, when, of course, this also had nothing to do with racism. At the very end, you have Keith Ellison, corrupt AG, go on 60 Minutes and say this had nothing to do with race, but yet the whole country was ablazing for what? I mean, it's so obvious to me, to you. I don't think anyone, I don't know, but I'll say this, Jim. So I've become friends with Maurice's mom. And because real people do experience racism, black people do experience racism, they have blind spots. So she cannot conceive, the mom cannot conceive the larger scale psychological operation of this all being theatrics. It's we still have not educated the public enough, despite 9/11, despite Sandy Hook, despite Vegas, despite Boston, despite blah, 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 blah. It's still unbelievable that we're living in the Truman Show in a very bad Hollywood production.
Yes, I think that's exactly right. Mariam, unless you want to play a little more video or other, I'm going to pull up. I'm going to regain host, and I'm going to put up the slide that shows your links, so the public will have access. And what I'm also going to do, Mariam, is see if I can get us to connect with the station so we can take the calls live. Otherwise, I'm going to have Mitchell give us a translation. And I think if I drop for some reason today, and I don't think this isn't normal, if I drop the PowerPoint, maybe I can be back in touch with the studio and we can, you know, field the questions. Why don't you go through all the links we have here while they're showing on the screen?
Well, actually, the first link is a commercial that I did, a big pharma spoof. I don't know if we have time to look at it.
No, I just want you to talk about them. Okay. I mean, the first link is actually honeycolony.com and your email.
Yes. So honeycolony.com is my magazine and marketplace. I've been around since 2011. I'm also a accredited functional medicine coach and consultant. I've reversed lupus. I work with people. And my website is all about aiming to empower people to be their own best health advocate through articles and through products. And that's my email. That next is a link of a big pharma spoof that I did for a condition called JJD, also known as jib-jab denial. And the next one, I would love for people to subscribe to my Substack. That's the one place where I'm still allowed to speak freely, and I invite people to support a real journalist. The next is my Rumble Truth Lives Here show. I have a show every Friday, one interview a week. It airs at noon on Rumble. And the next is the link to watch the movie. I myself because Vimeo only accepts PayPal. I cannot even offer the show. I raised $1 million to make Vanishing of the Bees, which was number one movie on Netflix, and I'm still, 2 years later, trying to raise $15,000. I'm at $13,000 to cover my costs. And the next is my book. People can pre-order the book that will be published by Logos Sophia. We don't have a public date. I am literally editing the edits of the book right now. And then the last is my Gifts and Go. Every little bit counts. Again, I'm banned on Venmo, Vimeo, PayPal, GoFundMe, Instacart, Airbnb, Amazon. Been smeared by the NBC in a six-part series called Shadowland and persecuted by the government. I've earned my stripes. I'm a brilliant woman, and I would love to stay alive. So your support can help me. Thank you.
Oh, I think you're doing a fabulous job, Miriam. Let me see if I, by dropping the PowerPoint, I can get us back in contact with the studio. We'll see if when we hear the break, we can hear any sound. But I'm just super pleased to have you here. Mitchell, we're going to open the phone line. So 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. And I'm hoping I'll be able to hear the break and that we can then hear the callers, because otherwise you're going to have to give us a synopsis. So we have a break. I wish I could. Yeah, Mitchell's going to have to give us. Well, you know, that'd be a great idea. You could call in. I gave you the number. Call in, and then you'll be able to hear, and we'll get as much as we can. Yeah, go ahead and do that. I mean, you can put your phone on speakerphone, and that way we can do it.
We'll be right back after this message.
No. You go ahead and call him. 540-352-4452.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners
Mitchell
and hosts
just,
for all their support
on,
that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support.
We have you,
Mary.
Okay,
it is the people like
the
you. Yes, you. That
it
keeps
on.
The station
it
in the front line for a battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in the dark.
Whoa. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Can you hear much?
Can you hear much?
I can't hear
anything.
I can't
hear anything to speak of.
I hear it. You don't hear
it? I'm not hearing.
I'm not hearing.
But you can hear it,
right? You can hear it,
right? Okay,
yes,
that's good. If you can hear it, that's good. You'll just have to paraphrase the question when they come in so we all know if we can't hear them directly.
On Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I'm delighted to be here with Mary and Renee, and we're taking your calls 540-352-4452. Nor your number not up here. I've gone full screen, so Mitchell needs to tell Marion when he has a caller and get him on the air. Please, Mitchell, we have somebody already. Or your thoughts.
Hi, Jim. Miriam, you're going to have to mute your phone that you have with Skype, because we hear a lot of feedback from you right now, or use headset. If you can.
I won't. I'm on Zoom.
Now I can't hear Miriam.
Anyway, yeah, no callers yet, but go ahead, guys. We're back.
Miriam, I think you want to unmute here, but we'll figure out something else.
Okay, well, hopefully people can call in. Say the number again.
540-352-4452. For anyone who wants to call, let me see what we got here. Go back. Okay, back. Mitchell, let's give us your thoughts about what you've been hearing from Miriam today. Join the conversation.
Well, you know, we're living in a time of extreme delusion where everything that we thought we knew is false, and everything we thought was false is
Mitchell,
real.
We heard you. You were saying we're living in a time. Please do continue.
I'm sorry, Jim. I thought I was.
I think, Miriam, anyway. you got. Go ahead, Mitchell.
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, Jim can't hear me. So I'm going to continue. You know, we live in a time where we have this total informational awareness, and everybody's awareness is being skewed and being living. They're living in a time in a matrix, in false awareness of their environment, of the world, and the news that they make their decisions on. So we have a connection problem with reality. Here, Paul's going to call.
Put him on if we can get him connected. Sure.
Go ahead, Paul.
Am I putting him on speaker?
No, there you go. Listen, just listen.
Just so you guys so you know what it sounds like from a listener's perspective is there's an immediate repetition of everybody, except for you, Jim. In other words, when Mitchell says something, it's immediately repeated right after, like a little background echo. Anyway, so I just thought for the fun of it, I'd ask a question. So I'm probably with Jim in thinking that nobody...
Well, Paul, you may be hearing something. I'm not hearing a thing. Miriam, are you hearing anything?
Yeah, I am, but I've muted it so that there isn't a repeat.
Well, we need to unmute it so I can hear what's going on. And
so, Jim,
we're just
going
to have to suffer through it. Go ahead, Paul. Just go ahead.
Okay. So my question for Marion is, since Jim and I probably are of the same mind that nobody died here, do you think that there's any real dead body in this whole George Floyd fiasco?
Yeah, I do actually think that he died, and I've seen the autopsy images. And like I say in my movie, if you watch it,
Miriam, you got muted there. I mean, whatever.
I have to hear you
to record for the video. Go ahead. But you said there was a body. Go ahead.
Let her finish.
I have personally seen autopsy images that I personally purchased with my own money. And I don't think that these images are fake. I get that's the number one question that I get asked over and over again. And I argue that he wasn't supposed to die, but that he did die. This was a psychological operation gone wrong or very right. So again, I do not think the images that I have in my possession are fake and that I show in the movie are fake. I don't think that Derek and Tao just showed at the hospital. I think it was like, oh shit, is this guy, look, if you think about it, you have broad strokes to reach, like, okay, keep on talking until Derek arrives, make sure you come out from the other side of the car, you're put on the ground. So yeah, it wasn't supposed to swallow this. It's going to kick in at around 10 minutes. And what happens if, not everybody knew that he was going to die, right? Maybe
what do you
he
mean?
Thought
what did,
it was
what did
going
you,
to be like
you just
Sleeping
say?
Beauty.
Oh, so you
not
so
everybody
he was supposed to swallow
on the
something?
Scene.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead, Bo.
Swallow.
So, no, well, she just
and
so swallow what? Swallow what? You think he was given some sort of a sedative or something like that?
Well, he swallowed fentanyl. So these drugs made by the Mexican cartel are, you know, if they're laced with something and only some, he thinks that he's going to fall asleep like Sleeping Beauty. When he says, I'm scared as fuck, when I stop breathing, it's going to go off on me, man. What does that mean?
Oh,
what's
really?
Going to go off on you? That's
so you
in my movie.
That, so
watch
you...
the movie. It's 1 hour.
Okay. So I haven't seen it. So where can I see this movie?
It's the link's My Movies Plus. It should be in the description. It should hopefully be clickable that you can click on it and see it. But I've spent 3.5 years of my life. I purchased with my own money footage that I'm still trying to raise money for a psychological operation that's historic. Why isn't there more support for Miriam? Why don't more people know about this movie?
So, okay, I will look at the movie, but basically I think what you're saying is that George Floyd character, who I'm sure you heard other people come online, you know, in the aftermath of the event saying that that's not the same George Floyd with the criminal record out of Houston and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And his attorney said that this real George Floyd was actually already dead. So this was some other guy.
Yeah, that's bullshit. Let's set the record straight on that. There's no one that knows more about this psychological operation than me. Jaffet is a red herring. But George Floyd is a composite. I have proof in my book that the references to George Floyd on this team or that team are complete BS. There was a Floyd George that Jaffet is referencing. However, when I ask Jaffet, well, what year did this Floyd George die? Because you could see this Floyd George at a game playing football. They slice that footage. It's not George Floyd. It's Floyd George. How do I know? Because a boy that was at that game, he was 7 at the time, he remembers making fun of Floyd George because it sounded like Boy George. So they literally took another person to create the composite, but then you have this Jaffet character that says that he buried another George Floyd. Oh, yeah? What year? Oh, you don't remember. Well, you know what, Mofo? I'm going to pull all the death records from all of 2015 and all of 2016, which I did because I'm a real journalist, and no one has bothered to do the investigations that I have. So... Jaffet is a red herring.
So I don't know who this Jaffet character you're referring to is. But
he's
the
lawyer
just
that you're referencing that said that it was a different George Floyd.
Thank you. Okay, thank you. I thought so. I just don't know all the names. You have a working knowledge because you did a book and a movie. And
Paul, we could hear you pretty well there. I don't know if Mitchell turned up the volume, but we could hear you really well. I'd like to hear more from you, but at the higher volume.
Okay, so here's what I was going
to say. Just to say before you continue, that there's a lot of red herrings that a lot of people – I'm a real journalist. Everything that I say in my book and my movie, I can prove. I can back up. You know, saying he doesn't have legs, saying Sigma 7, sure, we can all speculate, and I have speculations in my book, but everything that I say, I can prove. I can prove that they used a composite, a BS, different people, and created a composite of who George Floyd was. And the person, right, whether you know the name or not, you're referencing that an attorney around August came out and said, that's not the real George Floyd. But when a real journalist, not someone who's going to have a cursory conversation, because he gave a few interviews, this lawyer, when I have real questions, I know what I'm doing. He didn't show up for me because he's a red herring.
Yeah, no, that's the sort of thing they they've been doing this a long time. I'm sure Jim knows they did this in the Kennedy assassination, where they put a lot of objects in the stew pot, if you will. So you got this big pot, and there's all sorts of, shall we say, dead ends and distractions. So I'm sure that was done. So your supposition then would be that this guy that they used as sort of a youthful idiot victim, he was probably done away with, and it was through, I mean, he would not cooperate himself, but somebody probably intended for that to occur. They intended for him to really die, but of course not by being knelt on by this guy,
right,
Derek Chauvin.
Did you know that a year before he was arrested and they did the same song and dance? Have you seen that footage?
No.
Okay, so watch my movie. Everybody watch my movie, because I've worked really hard, and it's 1 hour, and it's an excellent film. And then
I will.
Once people watch the movie, then we can have a deeper conversation. We can say, like, well, what did you see? Did you see Tutao at that point give a signal to all the extras, I mean bystanders? Did you know that there's evidence to show that George Floyd was an FBI informant?
Yeah. See, this whole thing, and in the end, my look at it one way, Jim's not going to be surprised when I say this, but in the end, the problem is always the same, okay? Black people are not doing this to us or to our society. White people are not doing this to ourselves, to the society. It's Jews doing it to us, Jews doing it to all of us. And that's been the issue since the beginning, and we have to deal with this. Because they're liars. They're liars and deceivers. This is historically what they've been known as. I hear an echo, but anyway, I'm sorry, I heard you, but I also talked about
Paul is suggesting that there were, this was a Jewish psyop. Paul, do you have specific figures in mind you believe played a role here?
No, I mean, look, we know what the way the world is, right, Jim? You've been reporting on it for years. It's like it's run by these, you call them Zionists, right? But either way, it's run by these Jewish people and those that serve them. So obviously not everybody involved is a Jew, quote, but it's only them and those who serve them. Okay, that's the problem.
Yeah, well, I stick to what I can prove, and I can prove there's a bunch of Jews. I can prove that it's Tavistock. And I would like to just stick to specifics here instead of just shitting on a whole public, I'm not here for that. I'm sorry. I'm not professing hate. I will speak about Tavistock and the Intel script writers. And I do believe that we're in a Truman Show and that they don't give a crap about us. And we're living in a big TV show. And unfortunately, people aren't smart enough to realize that everything is a lie.
Right. No, it's like you said earlier in your
Paul, go ahead.
In the first part of the show.
Get that volume back up again.
I got the volume as far as it can go, Jim. So, earlier in the show. Okay.
Go ahead.
Let me just go and. You don't need to say go ahead. I'm perfectly prepared to go ahead all the time. I will go ahead anyway. So, no, it's exactly like you said earlier in the show, Marion, where, you know, is anything that we see on TV true or is it all a psyop? And, of course, we all know the answer. So the question is, who's behind it? You can use words like Tavistock, but Tavistock is not a real thing. Okay, it's conceptual. It's like saying the deep state. The deep state is just a concept. It's not a real thing. We have people. We have human beings.
I think Tavistock Institute is a real thing. It's an actual institute, and it comprises how it began with the Milners, with the Rothschild, with the Rockefeller.
Those are all Jewish. Milner, Jewish, Rockefeller Jewish, Rothschild Jewish. You know, that's my point. So in other words, yeah, the building exists, but it's just bricks and mortar. It's like this idea that schools are failing people. No, people are failing. The schools are just bricks and mortar and books. So, you know, again, I'm just trying to make a, you know, shall we say a distinction with reality. So we have people behind this kind of stuff, and Jim knows who these people are. So do I. So you can talk about hate all you want, you know, but the bottom line is, in order for us to get out of this mess, a little hate might do us some good.
That's fine. You can have hate. I don't need the hate in my heart. But that's fine.
Okay, I'll take it.
All I'm saying is, a journalist, as a real journalist, everything that I say, I can back up. I don't think personally that Tavistock is just a concept. It's a true institute. And John Coleman writes about it. You have to wonder why his book is $5,000 on Amazon. Because they don't want you to read it.
Well, I'm very familiar with John Coleman.
And that's Amazon.
It's been around a long time.
Will your book be available on Amazon, Miriam, do you think?
Say again?
Will your book be available on Amazon?
I believe so. I mean, I'm not allowed on Amazon. And if you know Smashwords, it's an equivalent. And I did a protocol to help people who are vaccine injured, given my degree in functional medicine, and not only did they delete that book, but they deleted all my other books, and then they deleted my profile, so I don't even effing exist.
Oh, so terrible. God.
See. Maybe I'm not allowed on Amazon, but maybe my book will be. We'll find out. I'll try.
Paul, do you have any more you want to add?
Can't think of it at the moment, you know, for me, just
Mitchell,
commenting.
Mitchell, further thoughts of yours. When Paul came on, you were cut off. Go ahead. Give us your thoughts, Mitchell.
All right, Jim. Well, there was just some news had come out a little bit ago that the U.S. has got their third carrier group, and they're getting ready to bomb the rubble into more rubble. So,
do you think, are they implying the U.S. is going to militarily attack Gaza, Mitchell?
No, but what they're saying pretty much is that we will protect ourselves and maybe Israel. We already know that some troops have been lightly wounded from the missile attacks in Iraq and southern Syria. So we really don't know what's going to happen.
Why I tell everyone to spend as much time as they can with their family and the people they love and care about, because we do not know how this may all spin out of control, and we may all be taken out in a massive onslaught of nuclear rockets. Though Paul, of course, is assuring me that that's not a risk because there are no nukes, which I would love to be the case. I would love to be the case.
Well, it is
Mitchell.
Like I said, even if the nukes exist, they're not going to go there. So you don't have anything to worry about. So stop worrying about it.
Stop worrying about it.
Miriam, go ahead and give us further thoughts here as we complete, because we've had a bit of a fiasco with a...
Well, I trust that George Floyd will keep on resurfacing, and I invite people to not have George Floyd fatigue and really look at the evidence, which includes the body-worn footage, tons of footage that you have never, ever seen or even knew about that is in the real timeline, and that you can reserve your book. It's going to be the historical book on George Floyd, and it's a 3.5 forensic investigation. I'm grateful to be here, and I had presented last year certain characteristics to identify a false flag. So that is also in my book, and I look at your work and cite you, Jim, your many, many years of journalism, and that the emphasis on believe your eyes. If you remember what Obi-Wan Kenobi said to Luke Skywalker, do not believe your eyes.
I love it, Miriam. Well, when will the book be available if we pre-order now?
The book should be available May 2024. So I'm literally editing the edits from my publisher and working as fast as I can with everything else I'm juggling.
Now, tell us about the movie. Is the movie free, or is the movie have a fee or whatever? I mean, I think a lot of people would be eager to donate to support your work. Which, tell us more about accessing the movie.
So I can't sell you the movie. People can go to Gifts and Go. All I have left is Zelle and Cash App and Gifts and Go, because they've taken my other ways to accept money. I don't have a way to sell you the movie because Vimeo only accepts PayPal, and I've been banned since 2017. So I believe I gave my Gifts and Go link. Every little bit counts. If they want to rent the movie, it goes to My Movies Plus. Of course, they're supposedly, you know, giving me the funds. And it's less than $5 for a rental.
So it's available for rental.
Yes, it's available to rent on the link I offered, mymoviesplus.com/the real timeline. I believe that.
And it's less than $5. How much is it?
It's $4.99.
$4.99. Well, that's less than $5.
Yes.
What's the title?
It's called The Real Timeline. The Real Timeline. I showed it. I can show it again.
Yes. Well, let me make
okay,
you...
No, I was just curious.
Let me make you host again. Sure.
So the real timeline, that's it. Nothing
there
about
you go.
George Floyd. Just the real...
Thank you. I'm going to show it to you in a moment right now. This is My Movies Plus. You can see the URL. Rent for $4.99. You could buy it. You could just watch the trailer. And it comes free with a subscription. My Movies Plus has a lot of other great headlines. If you want me to share it with you directly for a donation, you can reach out to me at miriam@honeycolony.com. This is my Gifts and Go. Oops, maybe I can't pull it up.
Jeff, I'm on the air. I'll call you when I'm off.
Again, I raised $1 million to make what was a number one movie on Netflix called Vanishing of the Bees. Here I am 2 years still trying to just raise a measly $15,000 to cover all the footage that I purchased with my own money to create this film. So I'm not directed by money, but I'm on food stamps now due to all the attacks on me. So I unfortunately have to ask for help, which is humiliating given my brains and my my skills. So thank you for having me.
So could,
and every little bit counts.
Oh, absolutely, Miriam. It's a great pleasure to feature you here today, and I'm going to include all those links in the program description. And I'll be putting the show up, you know, everywhere I can. And I just want to thank you for your valiant effort to expose one of the greatest frauds of recent American history, the ramifications of which are have been already vast, and it all appears to be smoke and mirrors, absolute fakery and deception, although George himself does appear to have died not by the mode of death claimed, and I can find it difficult how a judicial proceeding can go forward, find a man guilty of murder and be sentenced to 40 years when the medical examiner can't support that conclusion because the autopsy case report shows he did not die from asphyxiation but from a drug overdose. Miriam, your final thoughts.
Well, I am very curious to see if Tucker's report will have any repercussions on justice. Let's see. Like you said, was the trial even real? Is Derek really in a penitentiary right now? What will happen? I'm curious to see.
I would never believe that.
Because there's more than an abundance of evidence that show that this was a psychological operation to fool and further divide the country. Don't allow them to do that.
Well, I applaud your efforts as a real journalist, Miriam. Those of us struggle every day to get out the truth are grateful to you. I'm very impressed by what you've done and what you've accomplished, and I encourage everyone to lend a hand to Miriam's effort. This is about as important a story as we've had in the last 10 years. So I encourage you to follow it up. Miriam, I can't thank you enough for being here today.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on. Thank you so much.
I applaud you. Everyone, meanwhile, I reiterate, spend as much time as you can with your family, your friends, the people you love and care about. We do not know how much time we have left. Thanks for being here. And thank you, Miriam, for an exceptional presentation.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Enter into a world unseen on Raven Star's Witching Hour. You will encounter eclectic topics from the realm of spirit brought into our matrix of truth. With your host, the Solaris Blue Raven. Solaris will bring you an array of unique guests covering topics from ghostly spirits to amazing anomalies, covert technology, UFOs, and shadowy global events.
And that's right here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyal? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me,
give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their